So I had about probably 21 or so rededicate and just kind of give another commitment to the Lord. So God is moving here in this place. It's exciting to see young people going after him. And we had a blast. So yeah, bear with me this morning. How many of y'all been blessed by what Fred's been sharing these last few weeks? How many of y'all been putting it into practice? Yeah, amen. Man, it's been good. Like, I just want to testify that it has been helping me. It's the idea of praising, just finding strength in praising God no matter what's going on, and assuring my heart so that no matter what somebody's saying about me, no matter what someone's thinking about me, no matter what's going on, no matter what I did, assuring my heart, man, God, you love me. I'm your son. Man, it's been so helpful. How many of y'all been finding help in that? That is just good. So anyways, I don't want to go too far from that. I'm going to stay along the same lines. And if you guys want to open up your Holly Bibles, I'm going to open up to chapter 7 in the Gospel of John. That's where we will begin. You guys usually stand just for the reading of the word, just out of respect and honor. So if you're able, please stand. If not, don't worry about it. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, starting in verse 37. And it says, "On the last day and the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is a gift that you've given to us. God, I pray that right now you would open our hearts, God, that we would receive from you. Father, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord. Lord, if there's any distractions, anything's on our heart that's trying to keep us, Lord, from receiving, God, we'll just give this to you, Father. We pray, Lord, right now that you would just speak directly to our hearts. God, every individual, Father, I pray, Lord, that, God, this wouldn't be a word for who's sitting next to us. It would be a word for us, each person in this place. God, I ask that you begin to convict, Holy Spirit, that you begin to speak to, Father, through your word, God. God, I thank you, Lord. I ask that you also help us to mix what we hear of your word with faith, God, and believe it, God. And I know that it will change us, God. God, I thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right, so I just want to start out. Jesus is chilling here. Jesus is chilling. Can you guys see that? Jesus is chilling. Well, he's chilling, and they've been having just this party, this huge festival, the days of the feast. And they're celebrating, basically rejoicing that God delivered Moses and the Israelites out of captivity. They're celebrating how God made water flow from the rock when the Israelites were complaining, "Hey, we don't have anything to drink, what's going on?" And so there's a lot of symbolism here when Jesus speaks. We're not going to touch on all the symbolism, but I do want to just point out this. First of all, he says it's the last and the greatest day of the feast, all right? So it's the it's the big enchilada, you know what I mean? This is it. Like, this is the end, and here it is. And he says, he cries out in a loud voice. I don't know about you guys, but anytime Jesus speaks, like, I want to listen. But especially if he's crying out in a loud voice, I mean, you know, I want to be there to listen. So he says this, crying out in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now some of you guys are like, "Well, I don't know if I want rivers flowing out of my heart. That's kind of weird." I want to kind of share with that. I mean, he is referring to the Holy Spirit. He's referring to a heart that is alive in God. And he's saying, if you come to me, first, let's just start in the beginning. It says, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. So let's just start out with that, if anyone, right? All right, well, some of you guys have been saying, "Well, no, John, you don't understand. I mean, I just got a lot going on at the house. I'm really busy. I got to babysit 5 kids, and there's just a lot happening." Like, anyone, right? No, you don't understand. I haven't been raised in church. I don't know really what you're talking about. I don't know much of the word. Anyone. No, you don't realize how many times I've sinned and what I... Anyone. You hear me? No, man, you guys might be so old that you go to pull up your sock and it's your wrinkled leg. Anyone. You guys said, "Man, no, you don't understand. I don't like to read. I can't read. I mean, I got a reading disorder." Like, it just... Anyone. No, you don't... I'm ADDDDDD off the charts. They ain't got a category for me. Anyone. Right? No, you don't understand, man. I'm sick in my body, and I'm throwing up every day, all day. Anyone. No, I've been abused, and I've been hurt, and I've just been hurt by the church. And anyone. All right, we got that out of the way?
Anyone.
Anyone. All right. So Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, then come to me and drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So the second qualifier is thirst. Anybody really been thirsty before? I mean, really been thirsty. I remember Emily and I, over Labor Day weekend, we went out to a lake when we went on a little jet ski and just going around having a good old time. And man, at the end of the day, I was absolutely thirsty. I mean, I was just, the sun's beating down, I'm dehydrated, and I'm just, man, I just need something to drink. I drink all my water bottles and I'm still thirsty. Anyone been that thirsty before? Anyone been so thirsty that, man, you're in a pool and there's kids peeing around it, but you're so thirsty you're about to drink some of that water? Anyone been that thirsty? I don't know if you have been. I don't know that I have been. But Jesus is saying, if anyone, and we already know who anyone is, right? It's all of us. There's no excuse. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So we have to thirst. I think our problem oftentimes, church, is that we thirst for God. We go after God as much as we go after improving our golf game. We go after God as much as we go and improving our business skills. We go after God as much as we want to get that next toy, get that next video game, get that next car, get that next promotion. We go after God as much as we want to kind of fulfill our education and go a little further. Do you hear me? Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. If you really thirst, if you really want it, come to me. And I am going to give you something that you never had before. And you will be satisfied, and you will be fulfilled, and watch your heart come alive, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about a life force, a Zoe kind of life, a God kind of life, an agape love just awakened in your heart. I mean, have any of you been around someone who's just so filled with joy, so just excited, it doesn't matter what happened, I mean, they just got a bad day, I mean, all kinds of stuff could be happening, and they still got a smile on their face, and they just excited about life, and they excited about what God's doing. Anyone been around someone like that? Why is it that they're like that? I want to promise you, because they are thirsting for him and he is satisfying them. But if we thirst for all these other things, we're not going to be satisfied. And I really believe that a lot of the church is dissatisfied, unsatisfied, disappointed for a number of reasons. And we're going to hit up some of those. But we need to hear and understand what Jesus is saying here. If you guys want to rewind a little bit to John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Okay. And Jesus said this. He's here at the meeting the Samaritan, the woman at the well, and he says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Sounds kind of familiar, right? All right, so here this woman is. She's been shamed several times, publicly disgraced. She has been with five different guys, and man, the town knew her business. Anyone known your business before? Man, how did they find that out? What did they know? Yeah, well, man, they knew her business. The whole town knew her business. And they didn't just know her business, they wanted to make sure that she knew that they knew her business. You know what I'm saying? All right, so everyone is just shaming her, putting her down, and she comes to this well, and she asks for water, and she comes to get water. And Jesus says this, and it's profound, and he says, you know what, that water that you're getting there, that natural substance, man, if you drink that, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of what I have to give you, guess what? You're never going to be thirsty again. What is he saying? That anytime we go over after something that is natural, something that we think is going to satisfy, I want to do it this way, I don't care what you're telling me, I want to do it the way I want to do it, and that's just it. And we go after these things that we think satisfy, and we are left unsatisfied. Do you hear me today? And yet Jesus has no unsatisfied customers. Every customer, everyone that comes to him is satisfied. Everyone that comes to him is fulfilled. Man, you guys might have come here before. You guys might have come here on a Wednesday night and been offended. Someone hurt you. Something happened in the church. You know, and immediately you're unsatisfied. But Jesus, the church is imperfect. We ain't always perfect. That's all right. You know what I'm saying? We got to love each other. But Jesus, he is perfect. And he says, anyone who comes to me, yeah, you're going to be satisfied. No unsatisfied customers. So here, what happens with this woman is pretty exciting. Something happens in her heart. She gets this. She wants to take of this living water. And so she accepts him as his offer. And he begins to speak to her. And she begins to believe. She begins to really believe. And suddenly something happens in her heart where it just awakens her heart. And she can't stop telling people. She runs to the town and the entire town is informed about what happened. Then the entire town comes to see this Jesus and what happened and who he is. And guess what? Revival broke out. And a lot of the town came to come to believe in Christ. Why? Because one person said, you know what? I'm going to be satisfied with you, God. I've been dissatisfied with this. I've been unsatisfied with this. Nothing has fulfilled, but I want to trust you at your word, and I want to go after you, and I want you to satisfy me. And when that happened, her heart awoken. Her heart became alive. Out of her heart came rivers of living water, and she started, man, something happened where she had to tell everyone. She couldn't stop talking about it, and revival broke out. That's a flowing heart. That is a heart that is alive. God is wanting us to live in that kind of heart, live in that kind of life flow. Did you hear me today? Well, how do we do that? I want to tell you in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13, it goes on to say that the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists, just like our pastor right here, we come and we're built up, right? Who's been coming and been encouraged and strengthened? Man, who's found help for some of the problems that they're going through by coming here? Show some hands. Let's be proud. I mean, if you really found help. So we're here coming and we are being built up, right? That's what's happening. We're being built up, coming together, gathering, and we're also being built up by the words that of God's word through our pastor. Well, guess what? It also says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, or 32, I believe. Acts chapter 32. Let me find it here. He says this. He says, now I commit you, and the apostle Paul is talking, and he says, I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So what is Paul saying? He's not talking to new believers. He's talking to mature saints. He's talking to elders that he's commissioning to go on a missionary journey. And he's saying, I commit you to what? I commit you to God, and I commit you to the word of his grace. I commit you to this. I commit you to studying his word. I commit you to devoting yourself to his word, which what can build you up and give you an inheritance among all the believers. What does that mean? That you're going to find strength when you get in God's word, that you're going to find strength when you get in his presence, that you're going to be built up and find an inheritance, which means your destiny, what it is that God has for you when you are getting alone and spending time with him. Did you hear me today? And yet we come here and we are edified, and we're strengthened, but we're surviving on one meal a week. We're surviving on two meals a week. I often talk to the teens in the back, and I say, how many of y'all would wake up and just go to work or go to school butt naked? I mean, you don't put any clothing on. You just, yeah, I'm free. Free. Yeah, no. You just, yeah. How many of y'all would do that? And all the teens are like, one of the teens, get out of here. But no one in their right mind would get out and go to work or go to school naked. And how many of you guys, for a week straight, just won't eat a meal? Just go. You know, I mean, not fasting, not anything. I mean, just go without food for a while. Go about your daily routine. Go about your business. Who would do that? No one. Yeah, we say, oh, I filled up my gas tank last year. I'm all right. I ate dinner. I mean, last year. It was a good one. It was a big old steak, mashed potato. I mean, you know, last year, I'm all right. And we wonder why our tank is empty, and we wonder why we have no strength. Do you hear me? Man, God is wanting to build us up. He's wanting us to become a body of believers who are mature in his word, who know his word. So, Paul commits us to God and the word of his grace that can build us up and give us inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I want to share a few benefits of the word. These, if you guys are taking notes, these would be some good things to take notes on. I want to say that the Word of God exhorts you or encourages you to believe things about God. So you begin to read His Word, and you're going to discover, oh yeah, God is good. God is a refuge. God is an ever-present help in trouble. Man, when my enemies surround me and my foes, I shall not be afraid. So you find out all these things, who God is, that He is a peacemaker, that He is a shelter, that He is a fort, that He is a refuge, a safe place, that He is a comforter, that we hear all that about God. So the Word of God encourages us and exhorts us to believe things about God. It also encourages us and exhorts us to believe stuff about ourselves. I'm a son of God. I'm a child. He loves me. If God is for me, who could be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And we begin to speak these. We understand that God's Word speaks things about ourselves. So it encourages us to believe what? Things about God, things about ourselves, and things about God's principles and his nature, the way he does things. So God, we read Matthew 6:33, and it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Give, and it will be given unto you. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock on the door, and the door will be open. So we begin to see all these things, and these are God's principles, God's way of doing things. Wait a minute, you're crazy enough to believe that if you give, the more you give, the more you're going to get back? Now, I want to hoard. I want to keep. No, but actually when you start giving, you're going to receive more. These are God's kind of principles, and his word encourages us to believe them. If we didn't have his word, Man, we'd be a fool to do some of those things. We, you know, some of the world would look at us and, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you giving like that? Why are you? But because we have his word, it encourages us to believe things about him, about us, and about some of his principles and his nature. So basically, it's the way to operate in the kingdom of God, and it gives us help. And so the word of God also, so my just encouragement, man, we ought to be going to God in John chapter 5. We're just all over the place today. John chapter 5, I want to read this. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and these Pharisees are believing that Jesus is not God, and they're just going to his word, and they're kind of religious about it, you know what I mean? And they're just going and just... And so Jesus says this, he says, "You know what, you come to my word because you think that by it you have life, but you do not come to me, you refuse to come to me." I want to tell you guys that it doesn't matter how much we carry our Bible around. It doesn't matter how much we talk about our Bible, talk about... No, it matters how much we are in it, getting inside of it, and spending devotional time with God. We can read it and then close and then maybe pray a little bit, and that's all right. But this is something powerful that happens. When you begin to read it, and you begin to say, "God is my refuge. God is my fortress, God." And then you just begin to talk to him. "God, thank you for being my refuge. Show me how you're my fortress. When I'm having some temptation, when things are coming, help me to go to you rather than go to masturbation, rather than go to drinking, rather than go to..." You hear what I'm saying? God is wanting us to go to him, not to just do our own thing, because when we do our own thing, we're going to remain unsatisfied. But when we begin to go to him, we are going to be satisfied. And so when you were reading, he's also asking us, man, all I need is, in, man, I shall not want in anything. Like, you're just reading different scriptures. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." He goes on to say, you know, learn to become content in any and every situation. You begin to claim some of those scriptures as you're reading. Just begin to talk to him. "Thank you for this promise, God. Thank you for this." There's also the word of God encourages or exhorts us to obey, to act, to give. So it gives us different commands to go. Guard your tongue. Be kind. Give generously, right? Keep the word. Serve. All these things are kind of actions and go and obeying. And when we're reading those kind of things, we want to be like, "God, I just pray that you help me to obey. I ask that you give me a heart to give. Right now, I kind of don't really want to give." I'll just be honest with him. When we commune with him, it becomes alive. I want to tell you that the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says the word of God is alive. It is active. It is powerful. It is a force. I want to tell you, if you go and watch a movie, you go play some video games, you go on the computer and do whatever, you read something or you watch something, it maybe give you a little inspiration. It may encourage you a little bit or something if it has a good storyline, whatever. But it's nothing that's going to change you. It's nothing that's going to be of lasting value. But this is living. This is alive. And when we get in God's word, something happens. Things come alive inside of us. It says the word of God can build us up. James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Humbly accept the word of God, which can save your soul, make you whole from many scattered parts." If you say you're too busy to read God's word, you're saying, "I'm too busy to have my soul set free." If you're saying, "I'm too busy to read God's word," you're saying, "I'm too busy to experience real joy and real peace. I'm too busy to really experience joy and love even while people are persecuting me and people are yelling at me and people are judging me. And I'm too busy to have joy in the middle of that because I don't want to read God's word." That's what we're saying. Maybe not verbally, but that's what we're saying. We can never be too busy to be in his word. And I'm not coming down on you. I'm encouraging you and edifying you and exhorting you. I commit you to get in God's word, to find time with him. There's 168 hours in your week. And I want to tell you that if you do not plan your 168 hours, somebody else is going to plan them for you. We have things that govern our lives, govern our time. So we have to work, right? We have to. Some of us have to be at school. So many hours, our time is being governed by other people. And it's been all our life, school, sports, work, whatever it might be, we've been governed all this time. So then when we actually get off of school or we get home from work and we're not being governed by other people, what do? Put on TV and just all of a sudden 4 hours pass. Why? Because we're so used to people governing our time that we... When we have a little free time, we just do whatever. we're not purposeful or intentional about our free time. I want to tell you that, man, I do not want you guys to wake up. I do not myself want to wake up 10 years from now and realize that I have not fulfilled what God has called for me. And I'm not going to fulfill that if I'm not giving him time in his word, giving him time daily. Do you hear me? Some of you guys got a big cause. God has plans for your life that are huge. And some of us think that we'll just get there. You know what I mean? We'll just show up there one day. I'm just going to have a day where I'm just going to be filled with joy and nothing's going to bother me, and that's just going to be how I live all the time. It's not going to just happen. We have to be conscious about renewing our mind, about spending time with him, about communing with him, and allowing it to come alive inside of us. Did you hear me today? Got a few other scriptures that I want to share with you. If you guys want to check out Mark chapter 13 would be a good one. You guys could just kind of write that down. It talks about the word of God as a seed, and it's just a sweet parable, pretty awesome. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it talks about the word works inside of us. It affects us supernaturally. It does things inside of us. Man, there's a lot of scriptures. David said in Psalm 119, he said, "How can a young man keep his way pure? But keeping according to your word, O Lord." He says, I hide your word in my heart so that I may sin not against you. There is word, man, his word is beneficial in so many areas. His word is beneficial. I want to tell you things that will keep us from this life flow. Keep us from a heart that is alive, awakened in love. Just keep you from that flowing heart. Here's a few things. Pastor has been sharing last few weeks in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, where it talks about assuring our heart before God. That means that when we have confidence before God, when our heart does not condemn us. When our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence before God. Confidence means an intimate relationship. So we do not have, if we don't have an intimate relationship, we're not going to have confidence before God, and we're going to allow our heart to condemn us. That means it's going to forfeit what God has for us. It's going to stop. It's going to bring shame. It's going to bring all kinds of stuff. I want to share a story with you. I work at Outback Steakhouse down in Troy. I serve, and this past week, I had a girl come up to me, and she said something, and she just dogged me. I mean, she just put me down, and it was personal. And I was just like, I'm like, what in the world? I mean, where are you coming with this? Why are you even saying this? And I'm thinking all this stuff in my mind. I'm wanting to inquire. I'm wanting to, where do you come up with this kind of stuff? Like, who are you, I'm wanting to all this stuff. Well, anyways, I just kind of, walk away. I don't say anything. And I'm just kind of back and forth in my mind. All of a sudden, I see two other coworkers walking by, and they're just cutting up. They start laughing. Immediately, I think they're laughing about me, and they're talking about me. They said something. I thought I heard it, something a little different, and I'm just like, man, now the whole restaurant thinks this. And what is going on? Like, how many of y'all been there before? And I'm just having this war. I'm being tormented in my heart and in my mind. And all of a sudden, I had spent some awesome time with the Lord that morning. And so, immediately, that time with the Lord and things that I was praying and things, it just started coming back to me. Man, I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer through him who loves me. Man, I can do all that. Man, I'm God's son. It don't matter what anyone else thinks. It matters what you think, God. God, I just love you. I'm grateful for it. And immediately it just got off of me. And it no longer mattered what she said or why she said it. I didn't even have to ask. I didn't even have to entertain it anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is the power of the word of God. He can keep your soul. It can save your soul, make you whole from many scattered parts. The enemy wants you all over the place so that you're ineffective. He wants you fighting back. He wants you in strife. But God is wanting you to live out of your heart flow, living in him, that intimate relationship, having confidence. So maybe it's someone judging you. Maybe it's someone saying something bad about you. And immediately you want to entertain and you just go off in this world. And it could happen for 10 minutes. It could happen for 10 days. Right? It's not only that way, it could also happen, man, what happens if you did something wrong? What happens if you sinned? Or even in a situation, someone says something and maybe you may have some validity, but then you're kind of thinking, man, I should have done this different. I should have done. And you just entertain all this stuff and it just keeps you out. It's selfish. You're absorbed in yourself. You're thinking about, get away from that. And just begin to meditate on him. Begin to commune with him. When you're spending time, I want to ask you a question. How many of y'all have woken up? You wake up one morning and you're just excited about a day, man. You are filled with joy. You're just excited. Man, it's going to be a good day. The sun's shining, the birds are chirping. Maybe it's raining outside, but for some reason, you just feel like it's going to be a great day. You just got a big old smile, a little kick in your step, and how many of y'all been there before? Great day. All right. No reason, it's just a great day. All right, well, then all of a sudden, you drive to school, or you drive to work, or something goes down. Maybe you hit some traffic. You get a phone call. Someone says something, and all of a sudden, ooh, that great day, now suddenly you in depression, you in like, man, this is so, what am I going to do? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, some of y'all are kind of playing this out in your mind. Yeah, man, I want to tell you that that's going to happen time and time again until we find ourselves, man, set in God's Word, establishing Him, communion with Him, having that relationship. I love what Pastor shared last week in Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Because when you do that, you are established. And you're stable. You're not going this way and that way. When your mind is above, man, nothing can faze you. I want to share this little rap I wrote years ago. Man, I just found this and I wanted to share it. So it's a little verse, but it's kind of what we're talking about. Yeah. Bear with me. Yeah, you crazy. Bear with me. It says, every day in this life, there's a daily decision. Will I maintain the fight or will I lose sight of the vision? Will I pursue my Christ or will I give up and give in? Will I shine my light or choose sinful living? So many questions in my mind. Seems like so little time to find an answer. These problems are plaguing me like cancer. Where do I run and do I hide and whom can I confide? Just what does it take to rid of this pride? And how do I know who's on my side? Lord, why all this pain? I feel hurt like Abel getting slain by Cain. Walked on like dirt. I'm taking you back to memory lane because I now feel the same pain. This world thinks I'm going insane as I defend your name while they use it in vain. I can't stand it. The name of Jesus, they're going to ban it, but not from the mouth of this boy. One thing they'll never take is this joy. You can't take what you didn't give. You can kill my body, but I'll live. Y'all hear that? Yeah. That is truth. And John, I just like that. I wrote that a while ago. All right. In John chapter 16, verse 22, it says this. It says, no one will take away your joy. No one, nothing can take away your joy. When you're remaining and abiding in Him. I want to tell you the second thing that keeps us from a flowing heart, that a heart that is alive, a heart that is just joyful and filled with peace no matter the circumstance, is this. It's idols. In 1 John 5:19, a few different verses in 1 John chapter 5, he goes on to say the entire world is under the sway of the evil one. The entire world. So man, through communication, through media, through music, through all kinds of stuff. Man, you watch a movie and they're just throwing out different things. Trying to believe that God isn't a good God, trying to believe in, you know, evolution rather than creation. I mean, all these just little things they're trying to throw out there. The entire world is under the sway of the evil one. He says, but those who are born of God are not under his sway. They are protected. And he goes on to say, man, as you remain in him, in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And then the last command that he says, what he urges, he says, dear children, keep yourself from idols. He ends it with that. Keep yourself from idols. Why? Because idols are the very thing that are going to rob you of joy, peace, and that awakened heart, that life flow of love and peace. Well, man, what's an idol? I know that I heard some kind of message when an idol was like some kind of golden calf in the Old Testament. Man, I ain't got no idols. I ain't got no Buddha at home or golden calf. But no, an idol is this. An idol is anything that you think about the most, that you talk about the most, that you spend all your money on, the thing that is just absorbed, consumed in you. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a friend, a husband, a wife. It could be your children. It could be your ministry. It could be anything. Do you hear me? It could be your favorite sport, your favorite team. It could be whatever it might be. Your car, you guys entertain. What do you, literally, I think a lot of us think, oh yeah, I love God, I don't have no idols, he's the Lord, he sits on the throne. But if we were really to look at it, what would say that about our lives? We spend more time doing this, this, and this, and do we really commune with him? Is he really? Here's what I want to say in this. It says, keep yourself from idols. An idol, anything you think about the most, you care. So here's the deal. When we have idols, say a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, all these different things, you guys think of it right now, whatever that might be, suddenly that person is no longer the way that they were. Light switch goes off, you know what I mean? Suddenly something changes. What happens? Your joy gone. Just robbed. No more peace. Now, oh man, how am I? Anyone been there before? Something that was really important to you taken away, suddenly, in depression. You think, how am I going to get out of it? What is going? But when he is number one, when he is first in your heart, that's when he says in John 16, 22, nothing can take away your joy. No one and nothing can take away your joy. Do you hear me today? When he is first, it doesn't matter what happens. You could have the worst day and you could still have a smile on your face. Do you hear me? And it's only by having that relationship with him and him being first. That's powerful. If we really want to live out that way, live out love, live out having joy in the midst of pain, it's going to happen through communion with him. I want to share a few practical ways and ways to do that. When I first got saved, I started reading the Daily Bread. I don't know if anyone may know that. You can check it out, dailybread.com or whatever. Look it up. But it's a little sweet devotional. It's really cool. I started reading that, and that helped me get plugged into the Word. Well, I've been saved for 9 years now, and I can say that I may not I haven't been in the Word on a daily basis for 9 years, but I have been in the Word on a regular basis. All right? The goal is daily, but regular. You miss a day, you know, or two, you might be all right. You miss a week or two, a month or two, a year or two. Again, why? I filled up my gas tank last year. Why am I so empty? Why can't I go anywhere? I ate that. Why do I have no strength? You hear me? Anyways, practical ways in which reading God's Word, if you want to kind of write a few of these things down. Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs. You can read a proverb a day, just kind of staying in God's Word, having that wisdom, just getting that wisdom inside you. I did that right when I first got saved, and it really helped me just get some wisdom inside of me. Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. You can read 5 Psalms a day. And man, Psalms are awesome because it's exactly what we're talking about. David's up, David's down. He's got his enemies surrounding you. He says, but God, in you will I hope. Why are you downcast on my soul? Put your hope in God. And he just begins to talk to himself and get him in alignment, assuring his heart. Psalms are awesome. Get yourself in the Psalms. Read 5 a day. You'll get through the book of Psalms every single month. Just keep doing that. You can read, Mike Bickle said this, you can read the New Testament every month if you read 10 chapters a day. So you just read 10 chapters a day, and boom, you're through the New Testament every month. Think about that. A year passes, and you just got that Word inside of you. So you're just thinking, oh, this story happens there. So something happens, something that you just weren't prepared for, and guess what? You're finding strength. You're going back to that Word that you is just going to come up. The Holy Spirit's just going to bring remembrance. You guys know what I'm talking about. These are good practical ways. Also, here's a good one. Find a favorite book. Write down a favorite list of books in the Bible. You know, maybe write a list of 10, 15, whatever. Books you've read before that you really like. Books that you've never read before. So, you know what? I'm really new to this. I haven't really opened God's Word. Just write down. Hey, I heard John was cool. John, I like John. I mean, John's my name. I'll go ahead and read John. I mean, Genesis, it doesn't matter where, just start reading a few things, and you start studying a book at a time, and start getting in that. Start asking people questions. Start really talking to the Holy Spirit as you're reading. It's going to come alive inside of you. I want to tell you that the Word of God is a seed, and when you sow it inside of you, things change, things happen. Some of the things that you like to do, you won't like to do anymore. Some of the things that you hate to do, guess what? You're going to start loving to do. Prayer won't be a burden anymore. Prayer and spending time with God's Word, it's not going to be a chore. God doesn't want it to be a chore. He doesn't want it to be a burden. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about really going after God, having a vision for it. You know, thirst is a byproduct of vision. I believe that that woman had a vision that she saw this man Jesus, and she saw something he had that she wanted, and she wanted it, and so she was willing to accept it and go after it. And when she got it, man, something changed in the entire community because she got it. Her heart became alive. Did you hear me today? What if we started getting it? What if we could have our enemies walk in here and we could have a big old smile on our face and be the first to greet them and give them a big old hug and just love on them? What if? What if we were the friendliest place here in Sydney, Ohio on a Sunday morning? What if we were the friendliest place, the most love experienced and felt out of this body of believers on a Wednesday night? What if? How many of y'all want that? How many of y'all want people to walk in and know that they are loved, know that they are accepted, know that they are cared about, know that God has something for them? I want it. Let us be that place. There's no other reason for 100 and some teenagers to be here last night other than them being excited, inviting their friends, not feeling judged, not feeling criticized, but welcomed and feeling love. Man, we need this. With what's going on in Sydney right now, nearly a heroin epidemic, 60 to 70 girls inside Sydney middle school and high school pregnant. Stuff going on, drugs. I mean, we live downtown, Emily and I. We're just in the midst of it and all kinds of stuff going down there. Why? Because people are going after things that they think will satisfy. And they look to the church, and they're, you know what? They're not satisfied either. And they're going after some of the stuff that we're going after. So why would I try church? Why would I go? Do you hear me? God is challenging us. He's calling us. If anyone, we already clarified who anyone is, anyone is thirsty, if you're really thirsty, he's wanting it bad enough, he's hungry for it, come. Jesus does not have one unsatisfied customer. You believe that today? I have Pastor Fred calls me sometimes, and he's just, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just soaking up the Word. I'm just, you know, chilling in the Word, man. I've been all up in the Word. I've been in the Word for hours these last few, you know, just last few hours. It's just been real good. And he's like, oh yeah, right on, that's cool. And what he doesn't know is I nicknamed my bed the Word. So I'm like, oh yeah, I just been covered in the Word. I mean, the word's just been good. I've just been in it all morning. I mean, it's just really good. Like, you guys, I think we can entertain the thought or talk about being in God's Word, but nothing's going to change until we're really in it. You guys tired of me saying that already? I'm just encouraging you because, man, pastor is going to continue to build you up. You're going to come here and you're going to be strengthened. But, man, God has so much more for you. When you get alone with him, you're really going to be fulfilled. You're really, things are going to come alive. The things you hear pastors say, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, and I mean, just going to be coming alive. Did you hear me today? I'll tell you this. If I stood up here today and I maybe showed you slides about how you get a flu, you know, this is how germs are passed, this is how little virus, and I could show you different pictures. Maybe I show you a video, someone sneezing slow motion, and I mean just going everywhere, and I just tell you all kinds of things, how you get the flu, your immune system's low, you're not whatever. 99% of you guys are going to walk out of here without the flu, right? I can teach you all about it, tell you all about it. But here, if I have the flu, and I'm over here chatting with Emma, and I'm just like, man, Emma, work's been all right. How things been for you? And we're just talking about The Simpsons, or we're talking about whatever we're talking about. Guess what? More than likely, Emma's going to get the flu. You hear what I'm saying? You guys, it doesn't matter what we talk about. It matters if it's in us. Is it in you? Is your heart alive? Are you awakened in love? Do you have it inside of you? Because if you do, guess what? You're going to be infectious. You're going to be contagious, and people are going to want it. And you're going to see people at work coming up to you. Why are you so happy? Why are you, man, how can you do that when the boss is getting down on you like that? Man, they're cutting your hours. How can you still rejoice in God? Do you hear me? If we really got it, if we have it inside us, people are going to want it. It's going to be contagious. And guess what? If one woman can change an entire community because of what she just shared, her heart got it. He became alive and awakened in love. An entire community came to know Christ. What could we do? Look around. What could we do if our hearts became alive in love and we started living this out? It's only going to happen by spending time with him. A lot of us spend time with him and say, oh, God, change this person. They need it. Help me, help them. Help me, help them. Lord, you hear me? We need to get alone with God and say, Lord, change me. Help me to love them no matter what they're doing. Help me. Help me to extend grace. Help me to serve them. Did you hear me this morning? That's very real. You guys, we have communion for you. Fred, if you want to come on up, and the teams of communion want to come on up. John, if you want to come on up. Man, how many of y'all are excited about what God is doing in this place? It is good. I just love these guys. Man, you better look out. If you guys go to some of these teens for prayer, you better watch out, man. They got a fire. They're excited. It's in them. You guys ready? They're just going to pass that on to you. Before we take communion, I want to pray for you. How many of you guys say, you know what, John? Like, I want to have a vision. I want to have a vision for my life. I want to start getting in God's word. I want to start, people are governing my time, but with my own time that I have, my free time, I want to start purposely and intentionally communing with God, getting in his word, really take that challenge. I want to see some hands. How many of y'all are wanting that? How many of y'all want it? I believe that if we humbly ask God, God will pour out an anointing, pour out a grace upon us as a corporate body of believers to just, man, meditate. His word will be good. It will just bring joy to us. You hear me? In Isaiah chapter 55, it goes on to say, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, or my ways are so much higher. And he goes on to say that my word comes down from heaven just like the rain, just like the snow, and it produces fruit, produces bud, it prepares the soil of the ground. I said, in the same way, my word does not come back void, but you will go out in joy and you will have peace. What is that saying? It says when we get God's word inside of us, we're just going to have joy. The fruit of God's word inside of us is going to be joy overflowing. It's going to be peace. It doesn't matter. We're going to be like a tree planted by streams of living water. There may be a drought. There may be stuff happening in the economy. There may be stuff happening in our family, but we're going to be rooted and we're going to be grounded. Do you hear me? And nothing's going to faze us, and nothing and no one can take our joy. You guys, Let us ask him for this corporate grace. Let's ask him. And you guys, if you're struggling, if prayer is a chore, I challenge you and I commit you. Give it 3 weeks. Spending time with God every day. Just give it to him. Just say, God, I'm giving you. I'm trying. The first time I prayed, I was drunk. And I said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And he did. He loves faith. You step out on faith and say, God, I'm going to try. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. I'm going to give you 3 weeks. I'm going to just start spending time with him and watch what happens. You might be bored sometimes. You might be, but things are going to start coming alive in your heart. Do you believe me today? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to have Fred break the bread, and we're going to share a time of communion, and this will be a time to really commune with him and just begin to ask him for grace. We're weak sometimes. Man, I'm extremely weak right now this morning. Tired, my throat is, and yet, man, in our weakness, God's grace is made perfect. We're weak. We may be slow readers. We may not be the greatest at some things, but it's all right. God loves us, and he's going to help us. And we humble ourselves, and we ask him, he's going to do it. So let's humbly ask him right now. You guys just want to bow your heads and close your eyes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. God, I just thank you so much for the power of your word. In your word, there is life. In your word, there is healing. In your word, there is power. There is restoration, God. In your word, there is hope. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to continue in the truth. For you say when we know the truth will set us free. It will make us free. God, I pray that you would help us to be free to love, God. God, I pray that right now you would give us a vision for being passionate about your word. Maybe we've never done it before. Maybe we think it's not for us. God, I pray that you would wipe away all excuses, that you would wash over us. God, that you would help us renew our mind and be hungry, be thirsty for it, God. God, I pray like we, like the woman at the well, would get it. We'd have a live and awakened heart in love. And God, we couldn't help but share it, God. And we would be infectious, God. And the entire community would be transformed. Father, I pray that you make us the friendliest place in Sydney, God. God, that you make us abound in love. God, I ask for this in Jesus' holy name. Would you give us grace? Would you pour out a corporate anointing and give us grace to do this, Father, together as a body of believers? God, we love you and we thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.